miracle healer. You want to trust me just for a moment in the idea that I appear to be a perception within a reflection of your own life, that I've got an old Course in Miracles principle that's over 3,200 years old. You see that? That when I decided to come back down into this sequence and do an hour with you, I decided that I would make an appearance, and I have just spent a whole sequence teaching parallel universes. Are you aware with me? Somehow I think you think that because I'm teaching the idea of miracles of awakening with Adam and Eve from the idea of the cycle of the perilousness, the peril idea, the idea of replication of yourself within the dream sequence are important. And they are important. But if you want me to spend just a little time, I'm going to take this off. I'm going to do it. You ready? I'm teaching A Course in Miracles. This is coming directly from the idea of the possibility. I think I'll wear my shirt inside out here for a minute. The idea that you would foster within me. Am I on yet? I'm on in about 3 minutes. I'm going to make an entrance here, and I'm going to teach the idea of the particulars of how a miracle works. You see, to me, what is a miracle? I've been telling you this since the beginning of time. A miracle is nothing but the entirety of the conversion from space-time to the idea of the entirety of you. Stand by. He's about to make an entrance here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm healing. I'm a healer. You see that? No, it's impossible for you not to be experiencing a healing with me in your determination that within me the idea of chapter 2, and I'm teaching now directly about the mind training that you undergo in the experience of yourself. Here, try this with me. This is an illusion of the idea within a dream sequence that it has a reality. I am in your association of dreams, in stories that you have been telling yourself within this, what the old man used to use when he was here, a 40,000 year cycle in a universe that's 14,000 million years old. So that the sequence of the idea that you were somehow lost only lasted for that length of time. See that? What I'm doing with you is providing you with evidence as I assume this body form, here I am, that you would want to do chapter 2 of the text of A Course in Miracles, which obviously does not come from this idea or this frame of time, but offers you the necessity for the conversion of your mind, okay? I brought with me my Miracle Healer's Handbook, which says very simply, listen, I'm responsible for what I'm saying. I'm getting the solutions that I want within my own mind. I'm aware that everyone around me is getting the same solutions that I'm getting, and all of a sudden you're here. Say to me, who are you?
Who are you?
I'm here to correct through my own mind training the idea that there's another you that you can look at, and I'm not going to decrease your idea of fear. I'm going to increase the idea of the necessity for you to look at what fear represents to you in how you find a solution in the love that you feel for the action of fear, which does not allow you to escape out into the universe. Here's the question within the dream sequence. I just came into this idea with you now, okay? Available to you, starting right now, from the time you decided that we would use an aspect of the mind, training of your mind, are the idea that the responsibility for you is the recognition that you are going to, should we practice? Say to me, I'm going to be myself.
I'm going to be myself.
Now, look with me. In that regard, I have no idea about who you are within the sequence of your time. What do I care? You're going to be who you claim to be within the idea of chapter 2, in the idea of the healing miracle. Say to me, well, I thought I had cancer and was going to get old and die. You listen to me? You do. No, come on. You believe I'm trying to take your consciousness away from you. The idea that you hold memories of yourself in the result that you want within your body form are very simply why you are here. Here's what happened with me in what you call your determination to reject the idea of your wholeness in an attempt to be well separate from the entirety of your relationship with God, that is, with the singularity of you. What you said to me within the dream sequence is that in the moment of your separation, the correction of yourself in space-time is necessary to you if you want to escape out into the universe. Come on now, I'm talking to you right there. I'm talking to your body formulation of consciousness. You've given me all the descriptions of what you intend to do, and I'm using this whole idea, let's say, of parallel universes. Well, I've been studying the idea that there are various relationships going on within my own mind. Good. What I want you to see is this. Somewhere contained within you, if you get back far enough into this 40,000-year cycle, are the ideas of the correction of the mistake in your dependence on the idea of fear in order to believe that you're a body formulation. All I want you to see in the evolutionary process of the conversion of reflection of light, that any reflection that does not contain the whole of the extension of the single idea of your mind could not possibly be real. And this is what chapter 2 of this idea of how you can heal within your own mind. May I pose a little query to you, since you specifically asked me to come into this arrangement of what you think this cycle of time is within your idea of yourself? Does it include those who are taking pictures of this within the idea that you've already admitted to me that there must be something else? All right. Say to me, I can't see it. No, you can't see it. But that does not preclude the idea that how you associate with yourself will always result in the termination of you, since your idea of death, which lasted but for that moment in time, is where you are now occupied. Look with me just a little bit, because I enjoy reading about the fear that you're feeling about yourself. Will you listen with me? This is for your own information. The sequence in which you're hearing now is about 1,200 years different than the sequence that you heard just a moment ago within your own mind. The idea that you are not progressing in an attitude of shortening the idea of the distance that you're trying to represent yourself are not true. Why? No matter how far I have looked out into the universe, okay, in this idea of parallel universe within chapter 2 of the idea of the conversion of the resurrection of my body form, I have been unable to avoid moments of intense recognition that there's fundamentally something wrong with the idea of my location as separate from what everything is. This is what we read together, didn't we, in the idea of chapter 2. We're going to do a little more with it now, because it contains the fundamental essence of the requirements of what a miracle is within your own mind. Here's what a miracle is. The performance, the working of a miracle, the action of the possibility of the conversion that I'm offering you when I decided to come into this sequence. Actually, I'm just stopping by for a moment. I know you believe that you do not have a provision. in the idea of the resurrection, we use the term Jesus. In a 2,000-year cycle, which is actually only just that moment, there appeared before you the entirety of something that you did not intend to see in your detour into fear for at least another 8,000 years. And I'm showing you how to have just a moment of fear by allowing it to come in within your own perspective. From chapter 2 of the text of our Course in Miracles. Remember in chapter 1, perfect love casts out fear. If fear exists, then there is not perfect love. But only perfect love exists. If there is fear, it produces a state that does not exist. Listen, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the at-one-ment for himself. This means you recognize that mind is the only creative level and that its errors are healed by at-one-ment. Once you accept this, your mind can only heal. By denying your mind any destructive potential and reinstating its purity of constructive power, you place yourself in a position to undo the level of confusion of others in the message that you offer yourself in the totality of what you appear to be. Boy, I love this idea that you're hearing this within your own mind. Listen, it should be emphasized again that the body does not learn any more than it creates. It's actually just a reflection of your own light. As a learning device, it merely follows the learner. But if it is falsely endowed with self-initiation, it becomes a serious obstruction to the very learning that it would facilitate if you let it. Why? Only the mind is capable of illumination. Spirit is already illuminated, and the body in itself is too dense. Boy, I'm going to explain that to you. It's too dense in the appearance of the reflection of light that you're getting. The mind, however, can bring its illumination to the body by recognizing it is not the learner and is therefore unamenable to learning. This is what I'm trying to get you to do. The body is, however, easily brought into alignment with a mind that has learned to look beyond it toward the light. The idea that you brought about a conversion in the shortening of time were nothing but the admission that I am healed and whole and perfect as I was created. Now, the idea that that correction happened within your mind becomes a memory that's contained within your sleeping idea that Adam had in the idea that the place in which he found himself was somehow other than what he actually was. Look with me. The projection of the mind when I decided to come from out of nowhere. Okay, you're gonna listen with me. I literally came from out of nowhere because you made available within this 40,000 year cycle of the idea of the containment, the idea of a miracle of your own mind that needs to be performed by you. Say to me, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Of course. The idea of the reflection of light allow you to observe other body formulations that are not going to enter into the mind training. You better listen to me. The only manner in which you can finally heal the sick and raise the dead is to recognize within your own mind that your conceptual self-identity is the cause of the idea of a space-time location and has entrapped you within the idea of a dark feature in which you protect yourself in the idea of cause and effect. Okay, here's a little more chapter 2 about the healing that we intend to perform with each other. Did you feel that moment of happiness right there? Yeah. Is it gone now? Are you going to quick examine it and prove to me that somehow I'm wrong about this? You listen with me. The mind training will lead you eventually to the idea that I'm entirely right about this, in which case the world is obviously over. Because within my mind, I'm very certain that I have come here only to perform this sequence of time. Listen. Corrective learning always begins with the awakening of spirit and the turning away from the belief in physical sight. Are you listening? This often entails fear because you're afraid of what your spiritual sight will show you. Look with me. I said before that the whole spirit of energy of light cannot see error and is capable only of looking beyond it to the defense of the atonement of which it represents itself. There is no doubt that this may produce discomfort within your own mind. Yet the discomfort is not the final outcome of the perception. When the Holy Spirit is permitted to look upon the defilement of the altar, he also looks immediately toward the atonement. Nothing he perceives can induce fear except in what we learned about the idea of fear within our mind. Everything that results from spiritual awareness is merely channelized toward correction of the procedure. Discomfort is aroused only to bring the need for correction into the awareness. Here you go. The old expression that the old man just reminded me is, no fear, okay, no gain. The idea that you have to look and confront the idea of the necessity for the correction are why you're here. The fear of healing arises in the end from an unwillingness to accept unequivocally that healing is necessary. I'm finally going to say that word, and I'm doing pretty well with it. What the physical eye sees is not corrective, listen, nor can error be corrected by any device that can be seen physically. As long as you believe in what your physical sights tell you, your attempts at correction will be misdirected in the idea that the certainty is not contained within you. The real vision is obscure because you cannot endure to see your own defiled altar. But since the altar has been defiled, your state becomes doubly dangerous unless it is perceived. Listen with me, healing is an ability that developed after the separation, before which it was unnecessary. Like all aspects of the belief in space and time, it's temporary within your own mind. Listen, however, as long as time persists, healing is needed as a means of protection. This is because healing rests on charity, charity, love. And charity is a way of perceiving the perfection of another, even if you cannot perceive it in yourself. That is, the guy out there is going to be perfect whether you are or not. Most of the loftier concepts of which you are capable now are time dependent. Charity is really a weaker reflection of a much more powerful love encompassing that is far beyond any form of charity you can conceive of as yet, and this is why we're in the practice of this. Charity is essential to what we call right-mindedness in the limited sense in which it can now be obtained. Because the idea of charity, the idea that in the message of Jesus, I teach you the requirement, look with me, of love in the charity of recognizing the entirety of your solution that is standing with you, regardless of how much time you intend to expend and expand in the idea that the reflection of you can give you anything but another body form. All right? There's an idea of the activity of the darkness of the conflict that you intend to express with me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you a miracle of the conversion of your mind, which you have already accepted. Now, the acceptance of it is not in regard to the place in which you appear to be now, except in the certainty that the place that you now find yourself is the only place there's going to be. And that the idea that you have caused this within your relationship of yourself in chapter 2 of A Course in Miracles may not be evident to you in the idea of the miracle that you just performed. You listening? The miracle you performed had nothing to do with the idea of your concept of yourself at all. It's an adjustment that occurs within a better reflection of the light that you intend to be. Listen with me. Listen from chapter 2 of A Course in Miracles. Listen. Here are the special principles of miracle workers. The miracle abolishes the need for lower order concerns, since it is an out-of-pattern time interval. The ordinary considerations of time and space do not apply. When you perform a miracle, I, this is from directly Jesus, will arrange both time and space to adjust the idea of where you are. A clear distinction between what is created and what is made is essential in your idea formulation, because all forms of healing rest on this fundamental correction in level perceptions that you hold about yourself. Never confuse right and wrong-mindedness. Responding to any form of error with anything except a desire to heal is an expression of this confusion. Look with me. The miracle is always a denial of the idea of where you think you are and an affirmation of the truth, because only right-mindedness can correct in a way that has any real effect. Look with me. Pragmatically, what has no real effect has no existence. Its effect, then, is actually emptiness. This is the entirety of what I'm teaching. Being without substance of any kind, it lends itself to projection in order to maintain itself. The level adjustment power of the miracle induces the right perception for healing. Until this has occurred, healing cannot be understood because it doesn't mean anything. Forgiveness is an empty gesture unless it entails the correction of your mind. Without this, it is essentially judgmental rather than healing. Come on now, you gotta heal yourself. Miracle-minded forgiveness is only a correction. It has no element of judgment at all. The statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in no way evaluates what they do. If you can hear that, you can leave here with me. It is an appeal to God to heal their minds, and there is no reference to the outcome of the error, and this does not matter. The statement, be of one mind, is why we are here within the entirety of our own mind identity in the idea of what we intend to do. I'm going to leave you just for a moment in the idea that you have been successful in converting in the new arrangement we have set up in the time element. I have another assignment. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If you take this break with me in a corrective procedure, it's important that you remember that nothing is ever going to be lost in the idea of the lyric that we intend to perform together as we come within this moment of a corrective procedure of time, that the dream sequence that you have entered in with me are the dreaming about yourself in relationship with anybody. I know you think that somehow I have some sort of special relationship with the physical beingness of Jesus of Nazareth. My dear ones, all power is in your mind to decide the outcome that you want. The corrective procedure being offered to you by the idea of a perfect body that is standing next to you is nothing but an adjustment within your concept of yourself, of what you want to be true in the miracle that the manner in which you perceive yourself as coming into space-time, being here for that moment, and expanding out into the universe has already occurred, has already occurred, has already occurred within the fabric that you're setting up. So that when I induce you to come back with me, you come with the certainty that you're bringing the light from another sequence of time in which the miracle in the corrective procedure becomes much more easy by your decision to let it occur. To let it occur right here and right now. Right here.
Standing there loving me, whether or not you should.
So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth
or childhood,
I must have done something.
Listen, each day, and every minute in each day, and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between the past and the present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived. And all of time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now. Forgive the past. Let it go. It's gone. You stand no longer on the ground that lies between the worlds. You have gone on and reached the world that lies at heaven's gate. There is no hindrance to the will of God, nor any need that you repeat again a journey that you're determined to perform that was actually over a long time ago. Thank you. Thank you for the idea. The chapter 2 of the miracle of the procedures of the conversion of yourself. Very simply, we're in regard to your need to locate yourself in this space-time and feel fear. Here, shall I re-practice? You just looked at me and saw me as a body formulation and what you call a disciple, okay? Or a teacher of the idea that your cycle of galaxies of light formulation preclude the idea of a conversion, very simply because if you locate yourself within a fabric of space-time, the power that you employ will be exactly the same, okay, in the attack and defense motivation by which you recognize yourself. And at that time, you will attempt to distinguish the idea of what constitutes your idea of time with your idea of space. Okay? Will you relax with me just for a moment? I know this is a difficult procedure for you. In the notation that you have decided to perform acts of mind training. Okay, what I'm offering you, and I'm going to use you as a good example of it because you just heard me. Okay, what I'm really looking at, and you have looked at yourself sufficiently within your own dream sequence to see, okay, that the idea of a cyclical relationship with yourself is ending up in exactly the same situation in which you began. Okay, this is the life cycle of galaxies within your own mind. And that the idea of the power of your mind to alter the arrangement, okay, that you ask me to give you in my acceptance of the performance that I have been chosen within my own mind to perform this act, are not particularly in regard to you, but rather in regard to the idea that anyone within the particular of the power of his own mind cannot not be fearful of the space-time in which he finds himself. He is fearful of the space-time. In chapter 2 of the idea of the text of A Course in Miracles, in the teaching devices, since you're obviously recognizing yourself, that there's always something else in the alteration of the idea of the concept that you're seeing yourself that will give you a better reflection of the light in which you're identifying yourself. Okay, let's look for a moment about what we saw in this whole cycle of what actually represents the fear that's so enjoyable to you and so distressful to you in the idea that you can be right-minded in what you want to see, or you can be wrong within the idea that you can solve the situation. Shall we teach why? You're going to have to admit that all of the power of the universe comes from a single source of reality. This, if you will let it, will relieve you of the burden in which you thought you had to justify for a moment within yourself the idea of space-time, because you don't have to. Space-time, as I just read you, was here. It lasted for a moment, and it's over. I just saw a reassociation of a light factor of yourself. This from the idea of the healing that's going to occur. Gee, see, my body feels real good within the factor of my mind. Good. The result that you want in your mind were your previous determination to believe that you were a body and that you could get sick and that you could die. This is the working, the occupation that we employ in the conversion of a light factor is the reason why you have come into this sequence of time. Listen, healer of the sick, healer to the certainty that miracles can be performed by your desire to perform them in the message that you received from my Savior Jesus, who suddenly simply comes here, as you saw in the idea of Sermon on the Mount, and begins simply to heal people all around him. Yet the only way they can know it is not through his direction, but his certainty of the spirit of energy of light affords the immediacy of conversion. Listen. About chapter 2 of the text of A Course in Miracles. My request, do this in remembrance of me, is the appeal for cooperation from miracle workers. Listen, the two statements are not in the same order of reality. Only the last one involves an awareness of time, since to remember is to recall the past in the present without regard to the memory that you brought with it when you came in here. Time is under my direction, but timelessness belongs to God. In time we exist for and with each other. In timelessness we coexist with God. Listen with me. Finally, you can do much on behalf of your own healing if you want to, and that of others, if in a situation calling for help, you think of it in this way, and this is directly now offered you in chapter 2. I am here only to be truly helpful in the idea of atonement. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me if I will let him. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me, and I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal within my own mind. Very simply, because the reference in the new dream sequence that you're in have let you see that the power of decision, of the factoring, of the reflection, of the ideas of what are in your mind, do not contain elements except in the conflict that you're trying to escape from it. You're going to listen with me? You can't escape the conflict. You have to let the conflict come back in to the defense motivation in which you employ the idea of what miracles are. All right. That's why today's lesson, which says the cause of you and the effect of you in truth, are, say to me, simultaneous. Now, it's virtually impossible for you to stay here more than this moment in which you decided to come back with me without bringing with you the power that those who are designed at this time within this 40,000 year cycle to recognize you are going to see you in the idea that God, the idea of the power of thought of the universe, that is what we are as life will not distinguish between your ideas of what you think you are is separate from what you think I am. If this is true, and it is true, the requirement for you is understand that the conflict that you feel in regard to cause and its effect are actually going on simultaneous. You listen to me? I got a request from one of you in the idea that whether you're going to be offensive or defensive in your ideas, that somehow you still need to distinguish between the idea of yourself in order that you can be well and still retain the idea that something out there in that place can be sick. You listen with me. It can't be for more than the moment, as I just read you, of the recognition of the entirety of the place that you've found yourself. Listen with me. Remember when we were together here within this sequence, I began to recite to you ideas of the fear that you have that I'm speaking the truth? This is going to be a particular lesson for a particular time, for a particular place in which you feel the combat of the necessity to defend yourself. Listen with me, will you listen? This will just take a couple of moments, because what it does is provide for a conversion in the recognition that the power that I'm using to defend myself is exactly the same power that I'm using to attack you. Listen. Lesson 135. If I defend myself, I'm attacked. Who would defend himself unless he thought he were attacked, that the attack were real, and that his own defense would save him? And herein lies the folly of defense. It gives illusions full reality, and then attempts to handle them as real. It adds illusions to illusions on top of each other, thus making correction doubly difficult. And it is this you do when you attempt to plan for the future, activate the past, or organize the present as you wish. Listen. You operate from the belief you must protect yourself from what is happening because it must contain what threatens you. A sense of threat is an acknowledgement of an inherent weakness, a belief that there is danger which has power to call on you to make appropriate defense. You listen with me. The world you see is based on this insane belief and all of its structures, all its thoughts, its doubts, its penalties, its heavy armament, its legal definitions, its codes, its ethics, its leaders, its gods, all serve but to preserve its sense of threat. Say to me, fear. For no one walks the world in armature but must have terror striking at his heart. Listen, defense is frightening. It stems from fear, increasing fear as each defense is made. You think it offers safety, yet it speaks of fear made real and terror justified within your mind. Is it not strange you do not pause to ask as you elaborate your plans and make your armor thicker and your locks more tight what you defend and how you defend yourself and what you do? This is about your body. This is about the healing that we're offering you. Let's consider first what you defend. It must be something that's very weak and easily assaulted. It must be something made easily prey, unable to protect itself and needing your defense. What but the body has such frailty that constant care and watchfulness and deep concern are needful to protect its little life? What but the body falters and must fail to serve the Son of God as worthy host? Listen. Yet, it is not the body that can fear, nor be a thing of fear. It has no needs but those which you assign to it. It needs no complicated structures of defense, no health-inducing medicine, no care, and actually no concern at all. Defend its life, or give it gifts to make it beautiful, or walls to make it safe, and you but say that your home is open to the thieves of time, corruptible and crumbling, and so unsafe it must be guarded with your life. Is not the picture fearful? Can you be at peace with such a concept of your home? Yet what endowed the body with the right to serve you thus, except the reflection of your own life in the belief of what you are? It is your mind which gives the body all the function that you see in it, and set its value far beyond a little pile of dust and water. Who would make defense of something that he recognizes this? Listen with me. The body is in need of no defense. This cannot be too often emphasized, and it will be strong and healthy if the mind does not abuse it by assigning to it roles it can't fill, to purposes beyond its scope, and to exalted aims which it can't possibly accomplish. Such attempts, ridiculous yet deeply cherished, are the sources for the many mad attacks that you make upon it, for it seems to fail your hopes and your needs and your values and your dreams. One more sentence. The self that needs protection is not real. The body, valueless and hardly worth the least defense, need merely be perceived as quite apart from you, and it becomes a healthy, serviceable instrument through which the mind can operate until its usefulness is over. Who would want to keep it when its usefulness is over? Look with me. Defend the body, and you have attacked your mind, for you have seen in it the faults, the weaknesses, the limits, and the lacks from which you think the body must be saved. You will not see the mind as separate from bodily condition, and you will impose upon the body all the pain that comes from the concept of the mind as limited and fragile and apart from other minds and separate from its source. I'm with you just for a moment in the idea. And you can hear this with me because it's reasonable within your concept. Either the concept that you have about yourself is totally true in the idea that we all are a single source of reality with one idea of mindfulness of us. Are you listening? Or it's totally false. There is going to be no concept that will allow you to define with me the idea, well, I certainly know that I'm not a body. No, you don't. The idea that you are not a body is simply the idea of the attainment within the illusion that the factoring of the misdirection of you within the storyline that we're telling each other is going on in any event. In the last sequence where I showed you the last death episode that you just went through, you were perfectly aware that the body formulation of you had absolutely nothing to do with the universe that you had journeyed out into you. But I have shown you the idea of coming back into this particular of time. Because nothing and everything cannot both exist. From chapter 2. Listen. Nothing and everything cannot coexist. To believe in one is to deny the other. Fear is really nothing, and love is everything. Whenever light enters darkness, the darkness is abolished. What you believe is true for you. In this sense, the separation has occurred. And to deny it is merely to use denial, let's try it, inappropriately. However, to concentrate on error is only a further error. The initial corrective procedure is to recognize temporarily that there is a problem, but only as an indication that immediate correction is needed. This establishes a state of mind in which the at-one-ment can be accepted without delay. Listen, it should be emphasized, however, that ultimately no compromise is possible between everything and nothing. This is my whole teaching. Time is essentially a device by which all compromise in this respect can be given up. It only seems to be abolished by degrees because time itself involves intervals that do not exist. Miscreation makes this necessary as a corrective device. The statement, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life," has only one slight corrective to be meaningful within its context. What? He gave it to his only begotten Son. I love it. It should especially be noted that God has only one Son. If all his creations are his sons, every one must be an integral part of the whole sonship. The sonship in its oneness transcends the sum of its parts. However, this is obscure as long as any of its parts is missing. This is why the conflict cannot ultimately be resolved until all the parts of the sonship have returned. Only then can the meaning of wholeness in the true sense be understood. Any part of the sonship can believe in error or incompleteness if he chooses. Are you listening to me? However, if he does so, he is believing in the existence of his own nothingness, and the corrective of this error has already been achieved. And this is the whole idea, that you did not create yourself. What I'm offering you in the correction of the Last Judgment is the idea that you and I have agreed within time that the illusion of the judgment of ourself has been completed. It was brought into being only after the separation, when it became one of the many learning devices to be built into the overall plan. Just as the separation occurs over millions of years, the Last Judgment will extend over a similarly long period, perhaps an even longer one. Its length, however, can be greatly shortened by miracles. The device for shortening, but not abolishing time. Listen, finally, if a sufficient number become truly miracle-minded, this shortening process can be virtually immeasurable. It is essential, however, that you free yourself quickly, because you must emerge from the conflict if you are to bring peace to other minds. And this is the entirety of what I intend to offer you within the correction of my mind. Dear ones, I appreciate very much the idea that how you are within your space-time right now are not ideas of something that you intend to do within the future or within the past. This has been set up for you because you have finally, within your own mind, coming around again and again to undergo another death experience, have simply said to me, okay, that's enough of this. Say to me, that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah. The idea of the power of your mind to decide you don't want it will then be entered into you by you in the idea of chapter 2 of the text of A Course in Miracles, and I'm going to have to leave you, with the certainty that you and I, okay, and that thanks to you, in the memories that you have, are very valuable to me, without regard to what the idea of the concepts of the memories you have of yourself are at all. I have no concern about them, but you listen. The accumulation of the certainty of the immediacy, of the immeasurability of the determination that we left here together are ones that you have made with me. And this is the mission. When you declared to me, there's got to be something else. This is God now. There has to be a power of my mind. I don't have to know what it is, but I can know by declaring it's not this, that it will be available to me and provide me with the nothingness of the certainty that this whole world, this idea of location of space-time, was over a long time ago. Thank you for that reflection of light. Thank you for that reflection of light. Thank you for entering into this place and time with me. With me. With me. Thank you for the perfection of awakening together from our dream of death. From our dream of eternal life together in the idea that we were somehow separate from what everything is. I'll see.